You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form the Experience Grind Podcast. Oh, you fucked it up this time.
I fucked it up. It could have kept going. And then now
I'm
going to
single it out now because it wasn't me. The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience shown to us and try to give you our most honest opinions on those experiences. Yet again, you fucked that one up this time, Ryan. It wasn't me. The pressure got to you, buddy.
No, I just wasn't paying attention.
Is that what it was? Is that what you're playing this with?
I was not paying attention. I was actually, in all honesty, I was looking at the camera because I needed to figure out which one I needed to look at. And it's this one to the right, which is away from your face.
It is weird that we're angled this time.
I didn't notice this at first. Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of shifty eyes back and forth, which I'm sure is going to sound great on the mic.
Shifty eyes moving.
Sound engineer Andy does not seem concerned. So.
No, he does not. So, welcome everybody. Thank you again for joining us. We've had a pretty good week, I feel.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of good things have happened. Hopefully this doesn't date this episode very well, but the virtual reality episode just came out.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of good response to that. Very happy with it. And I hope that continues to go. Any new viewers, welcome. We're always glad to have you.
Only till a time, and then Kyle will tell you to fuck off.
I do that. I think I did that in the VR episode, didn't I?
I think you did.
So it's not new to you if you're a new viewer. I will tell you to fuck off, but I don't mean it. It's a thing. It's like a nervous tick, like playing with this thing. I'm going to put it down because I just got the death glare again from sound engineer Andy. So what the hell are we talking about?
I think today we are talking about eco.
Eco. So is that the way you pronounce it? That's the way I've always pronounced it.
I think that's how it's pronounced.
That's the way I've always said, but I've heard many people say ICO.
Yeah.
I even heard one dude that spelled it. He's like, oh yeah, ICO. And I'm like, do you mean eco?
Yeah.
So
it's not an abbreviation.
It's
ICO.
It's weird, just like the game itself. It's an odd name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going to talk about Eco today, which is a game that I picked from the list.
Mm-hmm. Our secret list.
Our secret list that no one knows about. Ooh. So, I don't know, man.
I'm going to let you flounder.
I am floundering, and you aren't.
I'm not going to help you.
You're a bad co-host.
You threw me under the bus for not saying experience.
I did totally under the bus. I'm reaping what I sowed immediately. This is karma in action.
Yes, all right.
Fair enough.
Now I'll help you.
All right. So,
Eco.
We're talking to Eco.
Yeah. The PlayStation 2 classic that started Team Eco, which they've gone on to do Shadow of the Colossus, which we talked about in an earlier episode.
That's it.
And well, now The Last Guardian that's coming out maybe.
It's been coming out for 8 years. As the biggest fan of Team Eco and the Sony production group, I fucking hope it comes out. I'm very excited for that game.
Yeah, I'm ambivalent.
I'm a big fan of these groups, yeah.
Which we'll talk about more, but they have a very specific artistic vision.
Yes.
Which seems to be like, you know what, if you've liked these games, you're probably going to like Last Guardian. It seems logically like the next move they would do.
They have a very... it's a cult thing almost, like some certain terrible movies. Like people that are really into... the Tim Curry cross-dressing movie. How am I not...
Rocky Horror?
Thank you.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
He's Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yes, he is.
You take a step to the left, and then a step to the right.
Let's do the time warp again. I got it, man. So we'll talk about it more. But before we do that, let's talk about our intro question, which is a thing that we do to... open ourselves up more to the viewer base and listener base to bring them in and let us know what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
With Eco being a puzzle game, Ryan, I thought this week it would be nice to talk about other puzzle games that we like. I'll turn the floor to you first, and we'll talk about a little bit what you like.
This was actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
I guess I like a puzzle game occasionally, but I don't seek them out usually.
Yeah, I'm like you. Like, they're there. They're always fun.
Yeah.
But I don't gravitate towards them. But I feel like puzzle games are also like the universal game. It's the one everybody can play. Like, mm-hmm. I know my mom loves like Tetris on the Game Boy.
Well, that's why you say you asked about the games. I made a list of my top three. Tetris is in them.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think it has to be in everybody's. It's like the best puzzle game ever, if not one of the G's,
exactly,
the best games of all time. Like, so okay, so Tetris, where is it at on your top three?
In all honesty, probably number three.
Okay.
It would probably be at the bottom of my list. I think you have to mention it because, as you said, it was so revolutionary for the time. Like, it sold the Game Boy. Like, that game, that Tetris Game Boy, I think was like one of the big pushes for people to go and get Game Boys.
Yeah. And it's fun and it's easy, but also challenging after a point.
You can, it's, they're so great. There's many YouTube videos on it. One from the PBS Game Show, which is like a subsidiary of PBS, where this guy talks about like game design and just the brilliance of it. And there's an episode devoted to the science behind Tetris and why it is mathematically the best puzzle game, and like how it hits that exact kind of, it's like a pleasure loop in your head where it's like, it's just hard enough and just mathematically done where like the pieces come in a certain order that you will never be able to win. You'll never be able to do better than a certain point, but like, and can keep pushing you to like want to do that, and it'll never frustrate you either. It's
so
just,
it's like heroin. It gives you an itch and then scratches that itch.
Yes,
but keeps the itch there. Like,
sure,
yeah, I'll go
with that.
I know nothing about heroin, by the way. Never done it. I don't know.
He said unconvincingly.
I haven't ever done heroin. It's the one I stayed away from.
Coming soon, Experience Grind Side Quest, where Kyle and I do heroin and then watch 2001 A Space Odyssey and then play Rez.
I would think, okay, both those we would want to do mushrooms if we're going to do anything and experience those. If we're going to do heroin, we got to watch Trainspotting, man.
No, that's bad.
But
that's
that movie's
bad.
A bad heroin.
That's like watching a porn where dicks get stepped on while... And like,
I mean, it's not a
it's
good
like,
movie.
Oh, I'm gonna get off to this, but like, you know, it's
I don't
really
like
bad
it
for my dick, and I'm like, I hate it. Like, you're gonna do heroin and watch a movie where heroin's bad and the villain.
All right, let's do heroin and watch A Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange can fuck off.
Whoa.
I'll say it. Like, Stanley Kubrick makes pretty looking movies. Like, they're gorgeous, but
man, this is something I never expected from you.
All right, we'll go there. We're gonna go there.
Okay.
Sorry, puzzle games.
I would never have expected this because I really, really love Clockwork Orange.
Oh, Clockwork Orange is, I think, overrated garbage.
You
like,
really do. Okay.
It is a series of scenes that work kind of sometimes, and then it never amounts to anything. It is just vapid fluff that looks pretty and is stylistic. And if Stanley Kubrick didn't direct it, nobody would have fucking cared about it.
But and this is just me, I've always felt that the fluff and the stylistic is a part of the movie, and it's deliberate because of the fact that it doesn't matter in the overall whole. Like, it becomes meaningless to the main character, like in the fact that he can't enjoy anything, and it is all meaningless fluff at the end. Like it glosses over the whole rape thing, like, and it makes it light and fun, where it's really a horrible act.
Oh, see, I would argue that it's still not even light and fun, and this isn't like, oh, rape's a horrible offense I can't watch on camera, and like, whatever, like. History of Violence has like a rape scene on the stairs, essentially, where he's kind of raping her, and then it turns into like something more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fine with that. Like, I don't have any problem with that. That said, I don't think like Clockwork Orange, if that's true, and this is all a stylistic choice, and for the sake of this character being so disconnected from everything, and it is just light and fluffy to him, it still makes the movie not a pleasant experience that I have. Like, I just don't. I'm not connected to this character enough to care about him or his emotional mindset, so I don't want to see a movie based entirely around his mindset, which is violence is light and fluffy. There's no arc or payoff to that character. He kind of just, it's nothing. It is just a series of events,
and then he gets his
brain wiped.
Exactly, and I think that's why it becomes a payoff of nothing, because they make him normal, and in that sense, like, they make the violence, they take it away from him, which is the only thing that he's known and enjoyed in his life, and they turn him into, like, a normal, everyday drone, which is just like you and me, and that's why there is no payoff, because he just, there's no over, it his life turns to crap, he has nothing to live for, like.
So then why not give us scenes of violence, or like, you know what a good stylistic director choice would have been, is to make us revel in the violence and enjoy it and have fun with it, to get us into the mindset of this guy, so when he ultimately does get his brain wiped, then we feel bad because, like, we see kind of, we've been tricked by the director to see, like, why he enjoys it. So when it does happen, like, it's this kind of cathartic, I don't know, payoff. And it's just not that.
What if you do like the violence anyways?
I don't think it's good violence at all. Like, I mean, you take away the whistling, singing in the rain scene and like the rest of the movie is kind of nothing.
I've always liked that his fellow droogs, mm-hmm. after the gang breaks up, move into the police force. I think that's a fucking amazing little, just like, oh, they just moved to legal violence against, because they beat the shit out of him. I don't know, when was the last time you saw Clockwork? Maybe this is something we need
five
to re-examine.
Six years ago.
Because I've always really enjoyed it. I think it's probably my second favorite Kubrick. 2001's my favorite.
Oh, those are just wrong choices.
What are your favorites?
I mean, Doctor Strangelove and How I Learned to Love the
Bomb.
That's
a really fun one. Yeah, it's fun.
Is, I think, fantastic. And then Full Metal Jacket are his masterpieces.
I like the first half of Full Metal Jacket.
I think they're both fantastic. They're just very different.
They are very different. But I just really love that first half. The boot camp section is, it's amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic and a great payoff.
And then I think it just kind of loses itself once it gets to the actual war.
There's a definite, like, because it is just like this big build up to this climactic scene in that first half of the movie. And then, like, the momentum just stops and then starts all over again.
Exactly. And it's a lot
like Death Proof. And I love when movies do that. So that's why I maybe didn't affect me as much.
That's us being different. I love it.
But that said, I do like Stanley Kubrick for the most part. I think he's...
How do you feel about Eyes Wide Shut?
I saw most of it and I can't remember it. I didn't care about it and I didn't like it.
I'm in the same boat as you. That's one I'd like for both of us to re-examine, I think. Because
I'd have to do heroin to watch that movie again.
Oh, that's a callback, people. That's good callback. Joke writing. I love it. Cheers to you, buddy.
Thank you.
I am amazed, but I, as always, as you and I both do, we respect these opinions.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I had no idea that you felt this way about Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, don't like it.
And that's cool. Yeah.
I'll have to talk to sound engineer Andy about this afterwards because I've seen a lot of head shaking.
Well, because...
Did I hit upon like one of the five movies you like?
Sound engineer Andy is the one who turned me on to Clockwork Orange. The first time I watched it was hanging out with him.
Really?
Yeah. Very first time.
Jesus Christ.
There might have been some
but
altering
substances.
But you
can't watch Drive.
It's weird, right? I know. Welcome to my world.
It is literally like...
I've been trying to explain this to this man for 2 years. What are you talking about?
Let's just keep berating him where he can't say anything back.
Yeah, he's got no defense right now. But I agree with him. Clockwork Orange. Air high five on that one, sound engineer Andy. Yeah, see? It's stylistically, it's different. It's different choice. Like, I get it, but yeah. I'm glad we went off on that tangent.
Yeah.
How did we get there?
We did not.
From Tetris.
How did we get there?
I have no fucking idea.
I can't remember.
Let's bring it back, though. Tetris.
So puzzle games. Yeah. Tetris. I think you have to mention. Heroin. That's why. Because of heroin.
Ah.
Thank you, Sandra.
Okay.
Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
A callback, which we didn't remember. That's good.
God, we're terrible hosts.
Drop the ball. That is horrible writing. And that's a callback to the previous joke about the callback. That is callbackception.
You're getting meta like Abed now, man.
I was going, okay, that's fine. I'll take that. I was going more Charlie Kaufman.
Cool.
In my head, cool. That's right. Community is a great show.
It's the best.
Well, just in case you didn't know, that's from Community. Great show. Watch it. So other puzzle games. The Portal series counts.
And I would absolutely agree. Yeah.
This is my favorite one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would totally get behind that. One or two?
If I had to pick two...
I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
One is really cool and really fun, but two takes everything to that next level. Mm-hmm.
There's deeper mechanics that really enrichen the gameplay a lot more. And just having the addition of GLaDOS's history and Cave Johnson by J.K. Simmons.
And Wheatley.
Fantastic. Yeah, Wheatley by Stephen Merchant.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing, dude. Mm-hmm. Wheatley's a great character. He's fun. I love as soon as he gets power, he's like, oh, no, wait. Yeah, I get this. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
It's
a more fleshed out game.
Yeah.
Portal, whatever. You can't complain that Portal's short. It's only like 2.5 to 3 hours to beat.
Who cares?
It's
fun.
Perfect.
It's amazing.
It's a perfect length.
Yeah.
But just Portal 2, there's so much more to do and a bigger, richer story. I'd pick that one. So,
speaking of perfect game length, we'll come back to that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
all right. Okay.
Last one. Yeah.
And then I also really like the game Lumines. a lot.
Is it Lumines? I've always called it Lumines.
I think it's Lumines, but okay. I only did because
are exploding things, and they're sort of mine-esque. That was my only justification. I'm not saying it's right.
Let's turn this into a technical wordy podcast, I know like the light unit to measure lights are like lumens.
Okay.
So like the light blocks, I always thought was like lumines.
And that works, and I will change my pronunciation.
If you want. I don't know.
But we're still agreeing it's eco.
I think eco works, yeah. I don't know enough to care. Whatever, that's fine. But Lumines is like, oh god, it's so good. I love it. It's kind of like Tetris, but you have two colors, and you have to make clumps of colors, of the same colors, to get rid of the blocks. And it's like Tetris, where you have the falling blocks keep coming, and you have to get rid of blocks to make room, constantly. But the twist is, there are songs playing in the background, and there's the beat... beat line that goes through, and you get points if you line them up with the beat line, and the beat line erases them. So it becomes this very rhythmic puzzle game, and you keep playing it, and unlike Tetris, where it's like the same do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do forever, it's like every minute and a half you get a new song. So the reward to playing better is you get a new song every 2 minutes. So like you start playing really good, you get like 30 minutes into a game to hear new songs. As you go, you die, you start over, and then that's your goal. It's like, I need to hear this new song. And as the new songs come on, they change like the backgrounds, the colors, and everything. It's just a really great visual aesthetic and a fantastic sound game. I really enjoy it. It's a game. It's like comfort food. Like I could put on and just veg out. Enjoy and get dazed in it.
I love that phrase, veg out, by the way. Like, the first time I heard it was by this sort of valley girl chick from my high school. But as soon as I heard it, it's one of those, you know, if you've never heard it, you know exactly what it means.
Already.
Fucking perfect. Great language word. Like, oh yeah, veg out. Because she would talk about how she likes to sit on a TV couch, watch TV, and just veg out. And I was like, oh, that's fucking perfect.
I don't remember the first time I heard it. But what about you? What are some puzzle games you like, Kyle?
So, you've already said Tetris. I think Tetris... this is default on everybody's
list.
It
has to be.
I don't know if you will count this, but I mean, we counted Portal. And it's very similar to Lumines.
Ooh.
I've already changed.
You did. You changed so good.
Because it's very music-based. And I don't know if you will count this.
I think I know where you're going with this.
But Rez.
I would not count this.
You would not count this?
It feels more like...
it's more of a high-score game.
It's on the rail shooter, kind of like Panzer Dragoon Orta or something.
But
it's a fantastic game,
yeah.
And I know it because this little compilation had Lumines and Rez HD in it.
Nice.
And that's really, this is fantastic. Get this set. It's like $5. Rez is a fantastic game.
Rez is one of the best games to do anything to.
Heroin.
Heroin, shrooms, weed, marijuanas, all the marijuanas do them.
All of them.
I had another one.
Do some marijuana. Do all of them.
I wish I would have been smart like you and written them down because I have one that is my number one, but I had a number two. Oh, I remember now. Have you ever heard? It's a very rare, kind of obscure PlayStation 1 game called Intelligent Cubed.
Yeah.
I loved this game when I was younger.
I never got to play the full game.
You played the demo.
I played the demo.
So many people I know played the... Yes, you play that demo once, you fucking play it forever. Yeah. You get hooked on that. Mm-hmm. I got the whole game. It sucks. It has since been lost to the annals of time. I think I let somebody borrow it along the way and they lost it, whatever. And now it's like one of those like... PSN has not re-released it and it's like super expensive on eBay and... all that shit. So I don't know if I ever will own it again, but given a chance, I will. It's really fun.
Agreed.
I love IQ.
I like I said, I can only speak for the first two levels, but as somebody who played those first two levels like hundreds of times, I agree.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic concept if you want to explain kind of what you do.
In Intelligent Cube, you are on a isometric plane looking at a series of blocks forming another plane that you control a character on who's... I've always assumed he was sort of a prisoner, but these blocks, it's everything is on a grid, and blocks rise up out of the grid and move towards you.
I'd compare it kind of like to that TV show Hole in the Wall, where like there's a wall coming, and there's a hole, and you kind of have to get in the right space so you don't get hit.
And you can also set up, like, you can highlight certain squares, because everything is in a grid, and you want to, like... capture certain squares, and
that's right.
it's very hard to explain, but very easy to understand when you play it. So
yeah,
it's just I was just like you. I spent a lot of time playing that demo, and I had a lot of fun with it. So once the game came out, I picked it up, and I wish I still had it, man. It's one of those.
I remember it being a very simple-looking game, too. Yeah. So I imagine it aged pretty well.
I would imagine, yeah.
Because they didn't try to do realistic textures. It was very kind of flat and artistic.
And it's very echoey. It gave me a sense of desolate. Very much like,
oh,
and
that's I can
why,
see that.
That's why I always felt he was a prisoner, like being forced to do this, much like Portal almost.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Other than that, the other one I really like is a game called Super Tetris Attack, but it's the reskinned version for the Nintendo 64.
Is this
called,
your number one?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Called Pokemon Puzzle League.
Okay, I know about this. Yes. I've never played any of these.
It is a lot of fun, especially competitively. I have it on my Wii. Yeah.
Is it close to Super Street Fighter
Puzzle Fighter?
Turbo 2
it's somewhat
HD
similar,
Remix Edition.
But I believe it's better because it is literally a reskin version of Tetris Attack, which is it's incredibly fun. It's just basically the only thing you can do is swap tiles two ways horizontally, and it's all about, you know, making columns, making rows, making combos. But I've also really enjoyed the Pokemon reskin is fun because you play as Pokemon trainers and they have the different elements on the blocks instead of just being colors.
Okay.
And then
as you hit the elements, like, do they attack?
They do
the
attack.
Player?
And, you know, the bigger the combo, the bigger the attack. And the other thing that you can do is they have Pokeballs that come up. And if you make a three-way combo with them, it will drop a steel trap on the other person that they cannot get through. So it's just a nice... It's really all about fucking the other player over, and I'm always about that. And so it's just really cool. So that's my number one, the reskinned Tetris Attack. But I'm really glad...
Though, so maybe I'll have to.
I'm glad that we agreed on IQ. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So many people don't even know about
that
game.
Oh, no. That's because PlayStation 1, when it first came out, like, I had Croc and Crash Bandicoot.
All you ever had was demo discs.
But then, yeah, exactly. Like,
I was the same way.
PlayStation Underground demo discs.
PlayStation Undergrounds. For a while, Pizza Hut had demo discs.
Oh, I don't remember that.
If you bought, like, personal pan pizzas, they came with demo discs. Yeah, they had those for a while. I had those. Yeah. It was good times, man. Back when you didn't have memory cards, you didn't even know that it saved. You just had demo discs.
That's true. I knew that always. I
think we talked about this in
FF7. For some reason, from the get-go, like, the memory thing didn't throw me off. It's like, oh, I get that.
Yeah, I think I didn't understand at the time. Because I'd grown up with, like, Sega and SNES and where it saved to the cartridge. And
Yeah.
Why does this not save? What does this mean? I don't get it.
It's newfangled technology.
I don't understand.
And then
I'm
they
scared.
Got rid of it again.
Yeah.
With internal hard drives.
Which is fine.
Which is
I'm
great.
So much happier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Except that I can't take things to my friend's house.
Well, that's the death of going to your friend's house play the co-op games anymore.
Why am I coming to your house, Ryan?
Yeah, whatever.
To do this.
I hop on Xbox Live in my underwear and shoot some noobs in Halo. That's gaming nowadays.
I just want to point out for the record, you just said shoot some noobs.
Whatever. Shoot some noobs.
Are you spelling it N-O-O-B-S or N-E-W-B-S?
Or probably N-E-W-B-S.
Yeah, get
them
noobs, bro.
Noobs. Noobs. There's no enthusiasm in my voice for that kind of shit.
I fucking love you,
it's
man.
It's sad. I wish couch co-op was great.
I know, man.
And it sucks that that's not a thing anymore. The only couch co-op games I play nowadays are, like, the Lego games, because they just don't exist.
I don't do so much. Mandy and I really enjoy all the Mario Karts. And you can still do those.
Yeah.
I don't think Nintendo's ever going to give up on couch co-op.
I love Mario Kart. Laura cannot stand it.
Really?
It's just kitty. She calls it kitty ween ween shit.
What? That game is so fucking intense. Just like Smash Brothers, dude.
I know. It's crazy.
Like, that
and
game,
then the gravity stuff in 8 is fantastic and some of the best racing experience you'll have.
Yeah, I agree. I love you, Laura, but...
For shame.
You're kind of fucking crazy on that one. Don't agree.
I like how you lowered your voice.
Don't come in the room because I know she's outside. I don't want to come in. I love you, Laura. You're amazing.
I mean, I'll say it. She's wrong about Mario Kart. She's
absolutely.
Fine.
So
wrong.
Fucking wrong.
It's a great game. It's fantastic.
So let's get into this. Our sponsorship.
Who is that?
It's as always.
Who that sponsor?
The lovely Andre California champagne.
Yes.
So I found out recently, I don't know if I shared this with you, there's a reason, because generally you can't call it champagne if it's not made in this one section of France.
Mm.
But there's some weird law from California from like 18 something that is like some loophole, and that's why California can have champagne as well. And that's why Andre is a California champagne.
So if you get champagne from a store, it has to have come from California.
California or France.
Or France. Oh, fuck so, France.
Yeah, who cares?
I mean, there you go. There's our fuck for the day. Fuck you, France.
Fuck you, France. Just... We're all about the Andre. Hashtag epic with Andre.
I mean, oh, Michel Ancel, who did Beyond Good and Evil, you're cool. I like you.
And
the rest of the Frenchies can fuck off.
The dude from The Artist is also pretty cool.
Oh, Jean Dujardin?
Jean Dujardin.
Fuck that. Look at that recall. Jean Dujardin, and I'm in Manhattan Inn. Dujardin.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
So it's always, of course, Andre.
I'm back on track. I may not have said experience, but I know Jean Dujardin.
That's my thing. I link the experiences. but no, Andre, as always, thank you so much. I've gone back to the extra dry. I think it's my favorite flavor.
I think
Andre.
It's the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the classic. It's the plain vanilla, whatever. It tastes the best.
Andre, as always, thank you guys. You're the best.
Cheers. Keep it epic. Hashtag
epic with Andre.
Epic in 2016? Epic with Andre?
Hashtag epic with Andre.
Epic with Andre.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, whatever. How do you like that sponsorship? Whatever.
It's the worst.
Whatever.
So,
I'm in a mood tonight. Whatever.
I know, it's great. Whatever. I like this.
I don't care.
You're snippy. You're not usually snippy.
Fucking because it's Stanley Kubrick shit.
Man, we gotta get over it,
dog. It blows my mind that you do not like Drive, but you can like Clockwork Orange. Yeah. This is fucking insane.
Dog. Hey.
Well, I mean, we'll continue.
Welcome to my hell. Yeah. Welcome to my hell.
I've never been more on your team than right now. This is just like...
We've been great friends. We've had this podcast for a long time. You're just now never more on my team. I love it. All right. Fucking A, man. Let's get on it.
All right.
Do you have a musical bumper for this episode?
I think I have one in mind.
Okay.
And this is probably going to be the same song that you had your resonance to. It is the female vocal-led song,
maybe, that
pops up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's it. I think When You're in the Boat. Is that right? When you're in the boat floating out.
Yeah.
At the end. Yeah. So, yeah.
Spoilers.
There's a boat. There's a boat in Ico. Shit, I almost did it.
You did almost say Ico. That's hilarious.
All right, but yes, so this is a beautiful song.
Yeah, I would agree. I like everything.
That's it. It's fine. It's good. It's a beautiful song that happens during a pivotal moment of the game.
Okay.
And I think it's probably the most memorable track in the game.
I would agree with you there.
So that's what we're going to do.
All right. So, there's our musical bumper. It's very nice, very ambient, which I would classify the entire soundtrack as.
Yeah.
You said nothing sticks out, and I don't think it's supposed to stick out.
No.
The music is absolutely not a central point to this, compared to Shadow of the Colossus, where I think the music adds a lot.
Fantastic, yeah. Yeah. This one feels more like, I love this, this is a line from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but he's like, I don't do... themes. I do tones. Like when he's doing like the CSI, it's just bom bom bom. This game is that. It's just tones and wind for the most part, and
a lot of wind,
atmosphere effects. But there's not a lot of I don't know. I mean, there probably is some background music. It's just not noteworthy.
It's forgettable. Yeah. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It doesn't like detract from the game at all. It just it's not like, oh man, I'm gonna go listen to the Ico soundtrack tonight. Like there's a song that's good.
As a big fan of video game soundtracks, I don't think I've ever done that.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't.
The Ico soundtrack. Yeah. I don't know if there even is one. I'm sure there is.
It's just 15 minutes of
and some birds chirping. But it's also really reduced down in the mix.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not, it never comes really forward. So anyways.
No, I think that's probably for a good reason, because it does add to that sense of isolation and kind of aloneness.
Man, you're doing this whole episode for me. I love that.
I don't know if we're going to do the
Do you want to do
minute
it the
sim- thing.
I don't think we need to. Do you want to? I think we could
we
just
can,
discuss.
But we don't have to. It's because it's a game that not a lot happens in.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a very simple game that you can sum up within a sentence, which is a village outcast wakes up in a temple, finds a girl, tries to save the girl, complications arise when this shadow queen appears and wants her to stay in the castle, but you are compelled to take her and leave. That's the game.
I could not do it any more succinct.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw in little details, but I mean, it's simple.
That's what this is going to be. So, all right, yeah, I love that. So let's get down into this. So Eco. I'm going to take just a bit of a hint, and then I'm going to pass things off to you.
Oh, go for it, yeah.
So it was released in 2001 and re-released in 2011. It is the brainchild of, and I'm going to butcher this, Fumito Ueda.
I thought that was pretty good.
Maybe. We'll see.
You got it? Oh, no.
What?
Oh, I was going to, no.
Fumito
Ueda. Yeah, that's what I was going to do, but I was like, that might be inappropriate.
Who cares?
That's okay.
So, and he's also the...
Sorry, Japanese fans.
He's the brainchild of...
All none of you.
Team Eco. He also did Shadow of the Colossus and was the directing and divine force of the unreleased... What is it?
Last Guardian?
Last Guardian. Thank you. Yeah. God damn. I'm also a Manhattan and
now, this
less
is,
than a half of this in.
I might be throwing us under the bus so that we didn't do our research. Sorry in advance, but did he work on any other games before this and then started this company specifically like...
I don't know. I've only known him through the Sony, his ties, because he's done these three games and only two have come out, but he's always... As I've known, worked for Sony and been in Sony's wheelhouse and making.
That's why I wonder
give,
if like
they
maybe
give
like,
him free reign,
yeah.
to just push the limits of the Sony technology and make cool things that look fantastic, and he does do that.
I agree. This is one of those artists like Hideo Kojima, that always kind of pushes the boundaries of what you can do in video games, and like definitely pushes the system to its limits.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. You can really tell in Shadow of the Colossus, man.
In Shadow of the Colossus, like he, like and Eco both, like the PS2 original games are like rough now because he really pushed it. Like Eco was so big and expansive that the PS2 at the time couldn't like. Properly process it, so they had it output in like 240p, which is substandard definition. Like it's really bad. Yeah, and then Shadow of the Colossus like dropped like 10 frames per second, like any time like a Colossus was on. Yeah,
the thing about Eco though, even though it's in 240, it still looked really good on the PS2.
I didn't get to play it on the PS2.
You played
I played
it on
the
PS3,
remastered
which
PS3 edition,
is so much more than what it was. But I played it. Like both of these, I played them on PS2. I've been a big fan of both these games since they came out. I don't know why. I guess almost sort of like my movies. Like I like, and I don't know how to describe it, but I'm gonna.
You better learn how to talk about how you.
I'm gonna call it fake indie, because I mean it is a production.
It's a big
game but it's really independent.
I would say almost like a P.T. Anderson movie.
I could get that. Yeah,
like There Will Be Blood, The Master, Magnolia. These are indie movies, but they have like a lot of money and like acting weight behind them,
and a lot of art.
Yeah,
artistic integrity.
Or like Tarantino, even.
Yeah,
like Tarantino. I mean, he makes indie movies, even though he has budgets and actors. That's kind of like these.
But
games.
It's just things like that. It's people with vision given free reign.
Agreed.
And that's one thing I'm excited about, the fact that Sony has picked up Hideo Kojima since he's left Konami, because they have basically, as far as I understand, been like, here, make something really awesome.
Kingdom, make it.
Do whatever the fuck you want, because you are Hideo Kojima. We understand what you are.
I think sometimes, and this is like a whole other debate we can have at some other point, but like I think sometimes that's not a good thing.
I totally agree.
I kind of love when artists bump up against the studio heads, and I think it produces the best art. Like,
well, I think we talked about this somewhat when we talked about the Matrix. I feel that like the reason the original Matrix is so great
because there is studio interference.
Exactly, there is restraint, and they work within that restraint. When they were given free reign after the massive success of it, I felt those next two movies suffered horrendously. Mm-hmm. They do not live up to the original Matrix because of that.
I agree,
but I also I'm a fan of just. Let it run. See what happens. And I think Eco is definitely a classification of that. Well, Shadow of the Colossus is too.
I agree. And that's I have issues with both of them. And we'll talk more about Eco and how I feel. But like, if you've been following our podcast, you know how I feel about Shadow of the Colossus. It's a beautiful, artistic game. It is art. Is games as art. But there are issues. There are some fundamental gameplay and game design issues that I think if they had a studio like being like, hey, you know, your jump button doesn't quite work as smoothly as it should. Like, go back and work on that. Like, fix your fundamental gameplay. Like, it doesn't feel fun to play. You know, you should do this and this. Like, I think it would benefit from that. Like, I think they need studio interference. It's a lot like Hideo Kojima is like one you mentioned. And I've not played Metal Gear Solid 5, mostly because I've all the press behind it. Like, I'm not too excited to play it. But, like, Metal Gear Solid 4 probably felt like the most unhinged Kojima. Like, do whatever you want. Not my favorite game. Like, I liked it more than most people. But, like, I think most people say, like, Metal Gear Solid 1 or 2 is their favorite. And I think those have the most studio interference.
Probably. 4 suffers from a lot. I think by the time 4 came around, too, Kojima's not made it a secret that he was tired of Metal Gear. He wanted to do other things. Yeah. But Konami knew the financial powerhouse that the Metal Gear name was and really was like, no, you have to do these. Like, I think that's, and so it also kind of came, I don't want to say phone it in, but it's just, it goes off the rails even more than any Metal Gear does.
And it does. It's indulgent.
And it's so bloated with cutscenes, man. There's so much time that you're not playing the game.
Which we've talked about before, but it bears repeating, like, Metal Gear Solid 4 has hour-long cutscenes. That's an hour of the game you are playing that you're just watching a cinema or reading text.
Hope you're not going anywhere or weren't trying to do something real quick because you are fucking stuck there. And as much, it makes it hard to replay because
it does, it's like, and again, I'm one of the people who really likes Metal Gear Solid 4. No interest in playing it ever again. I played it once, that's enough,
exactly. I can watch all of the things that are important on YouTube and do it at my own leisure, not have to play the 25 minute undercover section through the streets.
It's the third chapter. I fucking hated that.
It's rough,
man.
It's rough, and it sucks because I think there's a lot of good in Metal Gear Solid 4.
I agree.
Yeah,
but it's rough, and that's, and I would argue about Christopher Nolan's the same way too. Like, I feel like in his career now, he's getting a lot more leniency, and we're getting lesser works. Like Interstellar. I'm sorry, people who like that movie. It's kind of garbage. It's not a good story. It's not well done. And I think he was kind of given free reign. Dark Knight Rises, the third Batman movie, was the worst. It's the worst.
It's not a great movie at all.
No, it's like, riddled with plot holes. Like, it's not fun. It is dark and dour. I think I had more fun in Batman versus Superman than I did in Dark Knight Rises, and I didn't even really like.
Let me give a
Batman
cheers on
versus
that one.
Superman.
All right. But we'll get there. Yeah. Okay.
It's because there's no studio interference, and that's why. And we'll take it back to Eco and Team Eco right now, is I would love a Team Eco game where they had some parameters put upon them and they had to like have milestones that they have to check into superiors and like really kind of be under scrutiny. I think if they were managed by another company or like a head, like some producer or VP or somebody who like told them like, this is, I think you'd have better games because what we have now are great ideas. Like really fantastic ideas that don't quite work. And I think it's like very illustrated in Eco with the hand holding system. So you meet this girl, you're Eco. I'm
Yorda.
Assuming that's his name.
Yes, Eco and Yorda.
And Yorda's this girl that you meet that you save from a cage. And the entire game, which is only 5 or 6 hours, so it's not like too terribly long or anything. But you have to grab her and hold her and bring her with you wherever you go. And what that amounts to is you have a button where you have to grab her hand. and then she awkwardly rubber bands behind you, which slows you down and causes your physics to throw you off, and you bounce around, and you have to drag her to specific points for puzzle for the puzzles to open up the new rooms and everything. And it's kind of tedious. It's tiresome. Like, it's a great idea, because I know the director
Fumito Ueda.
Fumito Ueda wanted to have this boy meets girl story where you form a connection with a girl without any verbal exchanges, without like a lot of dialogue. So you have this emotional attachment, and the hand holding was a big part of that. Makes sense. Great thematic idea that I don't think quite pays off, because it does just become repetitive and it kind of becomes like tiresome. It's like, I have to run all the way down to this place for like a minute, and then I have to run back to get the girl after I do this one thing, and then you can't leave her in a different area, otherwise she gets attacked by monsters and
the
then
shadow beast,
the shadow monsters. So it's this, it's a conflict between art and like, is it fun? Is it a fun game? And I don't think it is.
I want to jump in here.
Please do.
Because one of my notes I have right here is that I'm the complete opposite. I think this is one of the few games that gets the whole escort mission mechanic right.
I think it's one of the best escort missions.
Yeah, and I actually really, really like the hand-holding aspect. It makes it, it does form that bond with the character. And I like that physically. When Ico is holding Yorda's hand, he is running differently, and his hand is pulled. He's physically pulling Yorda. He's like, come on, I'm rescuing you. We got to go this way.
It's like you're rubber banded. So camera can see me do this, but it's the characters do this. And she pulls and forth as you're running. And it does change your pace and everything. But please continue.
One of the things that I really love about this game is that it is incredibly visually based. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, there's no HUD.
That's a great thing.
There is nothing on the screen except for your characters and the world that you're interacting with.
Mm-hmm. Shadow of the Colossus had a HUD.
It did have
has nothing. And I like it better.
Even with Shadow of the Colossus' minimalistic HUD that they tried to do as little as possible, but they still had to have something. Mm-hmm. Because of those mechanics. Ico doesn't... There's no health bar. It's really, if Yorda is captured, it's a race against time to either A, get to her before she's taken to the shadow porthole that whatever the creatures are coming out of are, or B, if she's there, get to it in time to pull her out.
Agreed.
Again, I really like that because it keeps it open and it really lets the world come through, which is, I think, one of the big aspects of this game. Well, and we'll get into that more, but really, I really do, I'm the complete opposite, I guess, the way you feel that, like, I really do almost feel that connection to Yorda because, you know, there is the silly trope of the damsel in distress, but Yorda is the most in distress damsel, I think, ever, because she is completely helpless and defenseless, and she's almost the personification of innocence. She doesn't know, really, like, how to defend herself, and... I think even at a whole, she doesn't even know why she's escaping with Ico, because she doesn't understand the gravitas, because she is the daughter of the evil queen. And to her,
and part of that is because, like, when she speaks in the game too, like, it's a foreign language that's not like an earth-based language. It is something completely fantastical.
There are symbols that show up. But
so you can never understand her viewpoint or like her place in this or what she thinks on everything.
You can on the second playthrough. Did you know this?
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it doesn't add really anything, but it's a nice little thing to incentivize replayability.
Sure.
Which is always something I'm a fan of. I'm going to pitch this right now because I've had an idea for December where we do Dreamcast December. But I just had this one, Stoner Movie September.
Which is half-baked, a Kevin Smith movie with Jane, Silent Bob.
Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Dazed and Confused. Yeah. What else is there?
I don't know. I mean, we could really, we'll make a super secret
Pineapple
list.
Express.
Which was one I would like to do because I don't like that movie.
I fucking love it, and you're wrong.
I know, and that's what everybody fucking tells me. But I hated Pineapple Express the first time I saw it.
It was not the movie I expected when I saw it in theaters, but...
Yeah, I saw it in theaters, but...
I loved it. That whole fight scene with Red in those two in the apartment is like comic gold.
I've only seen it one time, but here's the thing. I saw Super Troopers in theaters too.
Yeah.
I hated it.
I can understand that. Super Troopers is rough around the edges.
But it's one of those that gets better with repeat. repeats.
Yeah.
And I love Super Troopers now. And I've always felt that I would have that turnaround with...
We also do Harold and Kumar, we go to White Castle. Yeah. None of the sequels. The sequels are garbage. Yeah. But the first one. One's fantastic.
And speaking of Stoner, it's not total Stoner. Here's another one that I don't get the way that my generation does, and you're going to be blown away just like I was with Clockwork
Orange. Your generation? What's your generation?
Our generation. And when I
see Degeneration X!
Suck it, baby!
That's the only wrestling thing I know.
I love it.
I'm gonna take it back.
But no, Big Lebowski. I'm not saying
you're so fucking wrong.
No,
that.
Look.
It's fantastic.
It's good and I like it, but I don't like it to the level that almost everybody I know does.
I just can't. I can't.
Dude, it should have everything I want. It's John Goodman.
It does have everything you want. It's you're just Coen not Brothers. Accepting it. Just it's like fucking The Force Awakens, just let it in, Kyle. Just
I'm not saying I resist it. I've watched that movie a lot, but I'm just saying on a level, everybody seems to get it and enjoy it way on this whole other plane that I do.
I think you might be looking for like transcendence in it, and it's not that.
Maybe it is, but...
It is a very specific small thing done perfectly.
Yeah.
And if that is your thing, you're going to love it. If it's not, you're going to be like, yeah, that's fine.
I love a lot of parts of it. Yeah. I love,
but that's the Coen Brothers.
I hate the
they
fucking Eagles.
That.
I love that line. I love the dude abides. I mean,
Anything John Goodman says and it's fantastic. Yeah. The ashes scene at the end's fantastic. The whole Philip Seymour Hoffman and the actual Lebowski is great. I love it all. Tara Reid that's fucking Tara Reid's best performance. All 5 minutes of it is fantastic. Yeah. Julianne Moore's crazy singer, crazy artist. Like it's good.
Bunny Lebowski. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, so that's one. We'll do Stoner movie September.
There'll be a lot to cover. Yeah.
Maybe we won't do games in September. We will just do Stoner movies.
I'd be okay with that.
That'd be cool. And then that's why I'm saying like December will just be.
We fucked up. We could have had Marvel March.
Oh, we could. Well, I mean, fuck, there's always next year, dude.
That's true. All right, so next year we're going to do Marvel March.
Yeah, we will. It'll be great. And by that time, there'll be tons of Marvel movies to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to fucking Eco for a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe. What? Go ahead. Fucking pitch it.
I don't have a joke. It's not fully formed. Just Cocktober, something Cocktober.
Are we going to...
But I don't have anything. I don't know. Dude, what's that Rodney Dangerfield rooster cartoon movie?
I don't know that
one. Where he's like the Elvis rooster?
Let's just watch all the movies that...
Have
actors hang dong, yeah.
So Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
For sure. Forgetting Sarah Marshall's in there.
Antichrist.
Oh, but then you have to see it get smashed with a hammer.
Yeah. No, we'll give it away. We're going to do an Antichrist, I think, in October.
You know what people love is when we talk about Antichrist.
I know, man. People love when we do that. That fucking is great.
I mean,
clitoral cutting. Have you seen Antichrist? You have not.
Oh, you would love it.
No.
You'd love it.
Here's the thing. The three of us will watch it, and that'll be Sound Engineer Andy's episode. We will talk about Antichrist with Sound Engineer Andy. I would love to do that. That's what we will do.
Antichrist.
Ooh!
Sound Engineer Antichrist.
That's funny on levels that you don't get yet, and I will explain to you after the show, because that's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah.
So anyways, fuck it, man. This is we got to talk about Eco a little bit more. What else do you have, man?
All right. What were we talking about before we left on this?
I like the escort mission aspect where you did.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. It's not the worst part, but like, it's a gamey thing. It doesn't feel fun yet. Like, it feels like
an
iteration. Like, I want Eco version 1.5 where they patch it out and make it feel a little bit smoother and a little bit nicer. I feel that with all the Team Eco games. It's just like, do a few playthroughs or tests, like play tests, and like get it just a little bit tighter. Like, you can get it a little bit better. Like, it wouldn't take much.
I think that, like, I like that Yorda, you can leave her places, but then also call out to her. And
that's fine.
She comes in a sort of dawdling manner, which I think, again, adds to the innocence of the Yorda character. Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't have the pressing weight of escaping that Eco mm-hmm. does. And so...
Yeah, that's true.
I really like when he calls out to her. It's just this long, drawn-out...
Yorda!
And especially when you're in one of the big open areas, which is what this game is beautiful for, it echoes and it goes across that distance.
Okay, so I can speak to two parts of that.
Okay.
One, I don't like the calling out at all. I think it gets repetitive really quick because you will have to call her out several times to get her to come to you. So, like, you're doing this for 6 hours, you're going to be hearing that blah.
Fair enough.
A lot. And it does get a little bit repetitive, but also you're speaking to, like, the echoey like just these big vast interiors, like that's kind of Team Ico's thing. It's the same thing exactly. As Shadow of the Colossus. It's like these big like structures, these brick structures that are very hollow and empty, and I guess it adds to the isolation, but like it's an aesthetic that I do not like.
Really?
It kind of, it's like, yes, you are pushing the system to its limits. You're making these big grand architectural like pieces of the element. I cannot emotionally connect to it, like it, because they seem so devoid of life, and it's fucking really weird when you run across the save system in this game that's a fucking couch.
Okay, so here's where we really agree. That is my one big critique with this.
It's really weird.
They're so silly. And like,
it makes no thematic sense.
Yeah, they're these super glowy couches that you sit on and save. I will absolutely give you that and agree with you. It was at a placeholder and then it just started transitioning. I don't get it. At least... Yeah. In Shadow of the Colossus, there are temples that you pray at.
That makes sense.
That's cool.
That makes sense.
The couch, and you fucking literally sit on them.
You sit on a couch and nap.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, in these big desolate environments where there's no sign of human life at all. Like, there are these couches to save on.
Here's another big disagreement. I don't know if this is just us and our different likes and opinions. I love that part of this game.
What part?
The openness, yeah. The desolateness, oh, no. And the despair. Here's a bunch
I'm
of-
in the minority. Like, I fully admit, like, I know...
I like that style
most
a lot.
People love this. It's just not something I connect with.
I wrote a bunch of adjectives. I'm going to list them, see if you disagree with any of them as my description
I'll
of this
give
game.
You a yay or nay.
Okay.
Okay.
Broken down.
Nay.
You don't think the world
think
is broken,
broken
down?
It seems... I mean, it seems very well-maintained for the most part, except it's just empty. It's hollow and empty.
I remember a lot of things not crumbling or being very crumbly.
I remember the only thing was like there was that one big bridge that falls down and it makes a slope for you to get to the first floor to the second floor in one area of the game.
Desolate.
Yes.
Disrepair.
Again, no, because I think that it's still like everything works. The bridges and the levers all work. Everything still works and is functioning.
I just remember like all the walls being like there's a lot of not togetherness and there's a lot of holes in the world.
I don't remember that.
Abandon.
Yes.
And here's another one that you won't agree with. Deteriorated.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
See, so, okay. So, of the...
Maybe I missed it, but the world seemed pretty immaculate. Like,
see, to me, it always seemed just... it's this giant castle for this lonely queen, and she only cares about herself. Which is the whole the whole base of the story is she's keeping Yorda around because it's her daughter, and she's hoping to absorb her essence and eventually... become young again. It's one of those
it's
stories.
Like it's a witch thing,
yeah,
right?
It,
like
it
the
is
witches
a witch
consume
thing.
The youth to stay youthful forever,
and Ico is trying to save her from that fate.
Sure.
And I've always seen the world as broken down, abandoned, and because the queen doesn't care about the castle, she cares about herself and how she looks physically. So,
I mean, I'd say aesthetically, like the easiest way to convey that, and this is something I get from the Dark Souls games, which is like, you know, have remnants there. Have like tables with shit on them. Have like pots and pans. It is a very empty world.
Yeah.
In all of these games, it's empty. It's
desolate.
Super empty and desolate. Yeah, you're right. And so I look at this castle and like an easy way to show it's deteriorated and like it used to be something, but then this queen has just lived there forever and let like have some skeletons, have some like signs of life that used to be there. It is nothing. It is just walls and floors and columns and bridges and that's it. That's all you're going to see. You're not going to see any kind of variation, which is fine for what it is. And you could say like limitations in the game because then that'd be like another...
Well, again, I always took it as the queen alienated herself from the world and she didn't want people in and she only has the daughters that whatever however long she's been alive that she takes their essence from and so but it is I mean I guess I also get your point because it's weird because so Ico ends up in this place because he's born in a village and he's born with horns, which is
much like the character
at
the
end
of
Shadow of the Colossus, which is why they say Shadow of the Colossus is a prequel to this.
Uh-huh.
But a boy born with horns is seen as a bad omen. So he is taken to the queen's castle and locked in a cell of sorts. It's like a hyperbolic chamber. It is
kind of like a hyperbolic
chamber.
Yeah,
I mean, it's only as big as he is, and he's left there to just die. And through a twist of fate, it gets knocked loose, and he is freed. Mm-hmm. And you set out to start exploring this massive, massive castle. I think the first thing you do is you just run up this humongous spiral staircase. Do you not?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I will also say real quick, too, because I have pretty much one more negative thing to say, but I don't want to sound like I didn't like this game, because unlike Shadow of the Colossus, where I was frustrated and hated like 80% of my time playing it, I did enjoy Eco.
Good.
A lot.
I'm glad to hear that. I have one more negative thing to say, too.
Okay.
But I think it's different.
Okay.
I almost guarantee it's different. So.
But I will say, when it comes to like the chamber where your pod is, your prison cell, I love thematically how you come back to there. And that's the final fight or the final area is in that chamber. And you can see all of the prison cells again. And that's where the final fight is. I think there are a lot of good creative decisions here. And that's one of them that I really love. But I'm actually really interested in hearing what your negative thing is.
Oh, my negative is really simple. I think this is the worst goddamn piece of fucking cover art for an American release game ever. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Well, I mean, Mega Man is worse.
Have you seen this one? I know Mega Man you're talking about. This one is really, really fucking bad. Easily the worst looking PS2 cover.
It's really bad.
It is awful. It's fucking atrocious.
Dark Cloud is up there. That had a
Dark Cloud is also
god awful cover.
I don't get it. Like, what is the fucking fascination with American releases and having the hero in these awkward, god awful, goofy poses? Stop it. Have you seen the European release of Eco's cover?
I have not.
Man, it's
is it
so,
better?
It's way better.
Is it art? Is it like the actual hand drawn art?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
It's
this
fucking
and
better.
Shadow of the Colossus should just be hand-drawn art.
Yeah, they are. Keep talking, because I'll pull it up, and then you'll be like, wow, that's way better.
But I agree with that. The cover is horrible. I'll switch gears to the thing I like the least, which is probably going to inflame you. But really, I can't fault the game too much, because this is one of the first games. It's like 14 or 15. Yeah, it's so much better.
Much fucking better.
That's in the HD re-release.
Gives you an idea of like, oh, this is an idea of what this game is about.
All right, so maybe if we can do it, video listeners will now see the European cover art
We'll put that up. I'll send it to sound engineer Andrew.
So this game, 15 years old at this point, right? Yeah. So it's one of the first that did this kind of thing. It's a puzzle game. You know what I really don't want in my puzzle game? Awkward, clunky fucking combat that really kills the pacing of this game. I think in the advent of like, now looking back, we have Journey, we have The Witness, we have like all these games. What's the other one? Firewatch that just came out. We have these games where combat is not a thing. It is just you walking around in this world as art and kind of experiencing everything. And you get a story without combat. I don't think Eco needs combat. I would argue maybe the final fight with the Queen, but the shadow minions that pop up and fight with Yorda, it's the same frustration as Shadow of the Colossus, where it's like, it's not fun to play. It is like, you get knocked down, you're down on the ground for 10 seconds while your character's animating,
flailing,
slowly getting up, taking a sweet time. Yorda gets put into a hole, you have to go get her, grab her out of the hole, fight, fight, fight. Yorda goes in a hole, you have to go get her, fight, fight, fight. It's bad. It is not done well. You might be fine with it. I dare any fucking person to say the combat in Eco is good. It is not good. It is serviceable at best. And at worst, it doesn't belong. And I fall into the category of this game does not need combat at all. I think you take that out, maybe it shortens the game by an hour. I think you have a much, much, much better game. Almost
where
a perfect game.
Where it's just focused on puzzles.
Where at that point, I wouldn't even care about dragging Yorda around. And it would be something. It wouldn't be this necessity to get her into every single room because the fear of another really bad clunky fight. So the fighting mechanic, I am not a fan of at all in this game.
I can agree to a sense. Again, I think my main complaint is the fact that much like Shadow of the Colossus, I have played this game to a degree to where like I feel I have the combat system pretty fucking gamed. And like, it doesn't bother me. I can wipe out the Birdman and the bigger hulking ones easily. And what I like is that story-wise, at the point where you eventually finally get the sword, mm-hmm. combat changes. You're a fucking unstoppable tank at that point, and like nothing can fuck with you once you get to the point of the sword. Because up to this point, you've used a stick.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I think the sword could have come earlier and changed the dynamic of the fights.
Yeah.
Because really, it doesn't come into play until like the last, what, 15% of the game, I'd say?
Oh, no. It's about halfway through.
Is it halfway?
It's about halfway okay. through. I'm fine with the point at which it comes in, but you say it makes you a tank, and I still disagree. Like, it gives you the upper edge, and the game's never hard.
It's never hard.
It's tedious. The fighting is tedious.
I can see that. And again,
it's just not fun. There's no variation. It is literally like how you fight that first fight.
There are two types of enemies, right? There's the birdmen and then the bigger hulking guys that generally pick Yorta up.
Yeah. And that's it. They're introduced relatively quickly in the game.
Once you realize that the birdmen are there to distract you and the hulking beasts are there to take Yorta, you can easily differentiate and game that system. And
you can. You can.
Maybe that's my... I'm a big fan of breaking games or making them work to my level, like understanding them.
Sure.
Like in Dark Souls, a game series, again, that you're not super into, but I'm very into. I'm into it because I treat it more like Indiana Jones than like... Okay, so like there's certain enemies that, let's say, they get confused or something. I like that fact. Or like, okay, so an enemy that is fighting you will do a bunch of fancy maneuvers and rolling around you like you can. Well, you can lead that guy to a cliff and he's going to roll off the cliff and kill himself.
Sure.
And that's... I like to do that. But there's a lot of people that play the Souls games that think that I'm cheap for doing that. But I disagree. Why would I not make the enemy fight itself?
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
It's like...
I mean, I agree with your viewpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't agree with what they're saying.
And I feel that's very Indiana Jones-esque, where it's like, I don't need this giant sword fight. I'm fucking shoot this guy. I have a gun. Why do I care?
Sure.
The only thing that matters is who wins. So, I don't know where I was really going with that.
Oh, it's okay. I kind of get it. I get where you're going with that. You're just saying the gameplay doesn't really affect you because you're able to break in and take advantage of it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
like it's
yeah.
the kind of grabbing Yorta, letting the enemy grab Yorta, and then hitting her and like doing that instead of like trying to protect her and keep the enemies
and keep
away.
Keep running her away
you
from them
because they're
going to chase it.
As a tool.
Yeah, as a bait almost.
Which I get it. Like, that becomes very apparent. But, like, doing it, using her as a tool, or using it as, like, I'm going to protect her and keep them away from her at all times, either time, the gameplay is not fun. And I just respect the gameplay in a game like Bayonetta or something, or anything by Platinum Games, where it's like, it doesn't matter if you break the game or follow the rules, it's still fun. Dark Souls, arguably more fun when you break the rules.
Some people would agree. Some people like to follow the rules. I agree. It's all stylistic and personal choice. But
personal choice, I just not a fan of the gameplay mechanic.
I get what you're saying.
Or and the fighting mechanics.
I'm not... There are a lot of people, much like Shadow of the Colossus, that I have shown Eco to and tried to show them the light. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? This game is garbage. And
I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, and I know you don't.
Yeah.
But I know you see a lot more of the flaws that I, understandably, will gloss over because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it a much bigger break than you do. Was this, I guess, I should have asked this a lot earlier. Was this your first time playing Eco?
This is my first time playing Eco.
You never really experienced it before this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was one I always wanted to play because I knew it was like one of the classics of the PS2 generation.
Yeah.
But I had played Shadow of the Colossus at that point. I was like, I get it. I don't need to play Eco. And Eco was one before the remaster that was like, pay $80 for this PS2 game. It was like, nah, pass.
Yeah,
like,
that.
I'm not paying that.
I still own both of them on PS2. And again, I have loved these games. And I
get it.
I understandably will overlook their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
There are flaws there. But again, there's a lot of good there too, man.
I agree with this one. I would not agree with Shadow of the Colossus. I think Shadow of the Colossus I came away more negative on. I think it's a fun game to watch somebody else play, but it's not enjoyable to play.
I can totally get that.
Eco, it frustrated me a little bit, but then it became like this meditative thing where it was just like a fun puzzle game.
And there are...
The puzzles
too
are so smart
and they're
good
different
and accessible.
And they change.
Yeah.
But they don't change to a point where you don't get it. It takes things that you've learned, much like Portal.
Yes.
And adapts them.
It just builds on. It's like, so you get this concept. Here's a new mechanic we're going to introduce. Oh, okay, so you get this. Here's another mechanic we're going to introduce. Oh, okay, you get this. Here's another mechanic. And then it's pretty much game's done. It's a short game.
So like one of the first things that you're learning is like lighting candles and lighting things like that, using your stick to move fire and light around. And then at a point, bombs come into play, and you can use bombs to mm-hmm. alter the environment. So it's constantly adapting and moving around like that. Another thing you point up, it's very short but sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing.
With Team Clot.
For people coming into the Eco series, or just, I mean, I can't say Eco series because there's really only two games in this whole universe.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about Eco, even compared to Shadow of the Colossus, is it's short but sweet. It is very short. It does not take a giant investment to experience.
Yeah, I think even with my blunders aside, like 5.5 hours, I think, was my total playtime.
It's one thing I've been trying to do because I'm not a trophy achievement whore, but when there's games that I like, I mm-hmm. like to do it. And I've been working on for Eco and I haven't done yet. There's a trophy for beating it under 2 hours.
I've seen.
So it's absolutely possible. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of good decision making. And
you
think
have to know what you're doing.
What I'm scared of and what keeps me from doing it, committing fully, is that a lot of it, saving on the couches takes a lot of time because they have to sit down and that save menu has to load. But yeah. So you have to go through a bunch of sections without saving. And I'm just, a lot of those sections have those, if you fuck up this one jump, yeah.
Yeah, there are no checkpoints in this game, and that's something that should be said, is if you die, you have to go back to your save, the save that you manually saved, and
that
can be
that.
Frustrating at times if
I'm
you're
not a fan of checkpoint gaming for most games. It works on some.
Oh.
Here recently, just to give an example, yeah. When I should have been playing a lot more games for the podcast, Nathan and I have been replaying Resident Evil 5.
I love Resident Evil 5.
Ah, man. Well, that's something we should play through because it has not aged well. But the one saving grace for it is that it has a very, very generous checkpoint system.
Yeah.
Which, if it didn't have that, him and I have both said many times, fuck this game. Why are we even playing this? I would not have even played this if it didn't start me right
here.
Why
didn't you wait for the HD or the PS4 remasters on this one?
Because we own it. Like, this is, again, much like a lot of other games, gaming companies love me because I've bought it, like, I've already bought that game 3 times.
See, I don't do that.
Why do I fucking want to buy it again? But we have discussed buying Resident Evil fucking 6, I think, as the HD remaster, if it goes on sale.
Resident Evil 6 is, I don't know, you're probably going to hate it. I like it.
Maybe that's one I should play together. Play through with you.
I like it. I think it was fun in co-op. Because I played on Xbox Live with random people and I had a lot of fun.
I have owned it since it came out. I have not played 1 minute of that game.
Oh, there's fun to be had from it. It's not a perfect Resident Evil game. It's not my favorite by far, but it's fun.
You've only played 4, 5, and 6 and now 1 mm-hmm. because of me.
And Operation Raccoon City.
You played Operation Raccoon City? Wait, yeah, okay. So the shooter. I'm talking about. Yeah, where.
Yeah, it's like a 4-person cooperative shooter.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's fun. Dude, I dig it.
I had that on PS2.
Yeah.
And
I like it.
PSN started. What I liked about it is that you don't communicate with people on that and that you can turn into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking cool. And we might be talking about, I'm pretty sure.
Different games.
You're talking
about Outbreak, I think.
Yes,
you're talking about Resident Evil Outbreak.
I had that,
which was you had to use the PlayStation 2 network adapter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know what you're talking about. That's a different one.
This one
is more like Gears of War.
It's
like a third-person shooter.
I have a Biohazard water bottle I got from pre-ordering that. I still have it. It's got a shitty compass on it.
Well, it's good for in case the zombies come out.
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
You can go north, but you're really going south.
It's terrible.
Doesn't matter.
Man, we have spent a lot of this episode not talking about Eco.
It's because there's not a lot I talk about.
That is true.
In honesty.
I have just a few other things I would like to say about it.
Yeah, please do.
One of the things that the only other game that I've seen come close to it outside of Shadow of the Colossus is maybe Prince of Persia. But this game...
Oh, yeah.
What I mean in this is that this game has a fucking monumental sense of scale.
I agree with that completely.
There are times when, like, you come into an open area and it just pulls back and it is fucking massive. And there are other times where, like, there's certain jumping puzzles that when I first played them, I remember getting a little queasy because you're above these super high things and you're climbing up even higher. And it really sets that sense of, like, hey, man, you are really fucking high up and screwing around. Like, you got to get this on point or you're going to fall and it's not going to be good. So it really does a representation of the sense of scale. And again, that's. We talked about it earlier.
You also have, like,
where,
the wall climbing sections to, like, Prince of Persia, where you're dangling from, like, I don't know, 100-story cliff face that the castle's on. And
the nice thing with Prince of Persia is if you fuck the fail up or the jump up, you could just rewind that time. Yeah. Which, man,
well,
that was,
I mean,
so awesome.
I'd put it out there. I think I like Prince of Persia Sands of Time better, personally.
That is a great game. And I remember playing,
I think,
again,
it's,
on PS2.
Yeah.
I played a fuckload of that game. It was... I don't know, just that whole concept to me was cool, where you could rewind the time. It was
revolutionary.
Yeah, it was really great, and I don't think any of the sequels ever lived up to it, unfortunately.
No, they were fun. The second one was regrettable.
Was
the Warrior Within. Two Princes was the third one. That's fine.
Okay.
The second one had Emo Prince with, like, black hair, and it was like a Resident Evil Nemesis kind of thing.
Where
like,
something was constantly chasing
you. The big monster chased you the entire time. And then it became like a time trial, and that fucking killed it. That killed the pacing. But I would say Eco has the better art direction, the better atmosphere,
and
everything.
Well, and here, you just said it, and this is my last note I will have. I think the pacing on Eco is nearly perfect. And what I mean by is that it's constantly pushing you forward, constantly giving you a new challenge that is new, but it's something that you understand, and it's changing things. And what I mean, and like, it seems to always move you from a darker, cramped, more interior section, and then it will bring you out into this open, big outdoor section. And one of the big ones that I think is the most iconic set piece,
the windmill.
The windmill.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing when you get to that. And there's that there's that little pond down there, and there's these birds bathing in it.
The revolution, or the, not the revolution, the oh man, I lost my word.
Realization?
Yes.
Thing.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, perfect. That was great.
That's because we're on this level, dog.
Yeah. The realization that you're going to have to jump and grab onto the windmill
as it's
turning was incredible. And when you do figure that out and you do it, it's a great moment.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
When you're in, like, these tight environments for a long time, and then you get out there and you get this sense of scale. I completely agree.
It's a very serene moment when you walk out and you, in this dark, desolate crap you've been going through this whole time, you
and
come
then you
upon
look to
this,
the left and you see a couch and you're like, why the fuck is that there?
There's
and then
weird
you keep
couch.
Going.
But I mean, you come out and there's like, there's this pond slash puddle that's formed next to the windmill, and there's birds that are sort of bathing themselves in it, and you hear them chirping, and it's just, it's a literal breath of fresh air. Like, oh, wow, this is something really fucking cool.
And smart game design, too, because that's what gives you the hint, like, maybe I need to get on this windmill, because the water is there specifically if I fall.
To catch you.
To catch you.
Yeah.
It's great.
After that, you know, it's going to move you again back into a more dark and cramped place, but then it always... It's variations of dark, cramped, light, open. It moves through these paces and hits them, and it's just very, very well done.
I'd agree if you took out the fighting mechanics.
Yeah. Again,
I think it would be a perfectly paced game if you took out the fighting. I think it would be.
I think the fighting is there for a reason. I agree it's maybe poorly implemented.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It could have been better, but I don't, here's the thing, if you made it more complex,
No, I don't want it more complex. I just want it gone. I think in this game you just need it gone. I don't think they had the gall to do that back then, because it was
if it's gone, what is the conflict with Yorda?
You don't have to have a conflict with the Yorda. You can
I think that
experience, that's the thing, is like, it's this big isolating environment, but you have Yorda. Conflict with the monsters doesn't mean shit. It is just a gameplay mechanic, because I really feel like people are like, we can't have a game without fighting. Like, what's the game if you're just walking around a castle? But if they did that game today, in this time, I don't think they'd have the monsters. Just like in Shadow of the Colossus, you don't have anything but the big monster. Like, you don't have these small little
skirmishes.
Irrelevant encounters. Yeah. Like, they're just insignificant.
I think at the time, it was a way to make you feel for Yorda, where, like, you want to rescue her. But I think, because I do this now.
I get that.
But I think it has had the opposite effect, because even now when I'm playing it, instead of feeling bad for Yorta, what you end up doing is like, oh, you stupid fucking bitch. Why did you get picked up again?
Yeah.
God fucking damn it. I got to save you. And it becomes...
It's really a bad female
trope.
It's, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a bad female trope. Trope in general. It's a design decision that ends up giving the opposite effect of what it should.
I mean, I would argue wholeheartedly she is a damsel in distress.
Yes,
and
you should want to rescue her. But at the end point, you feel more of the fact like, God damn it, you dumb bitch. Why do I have to rescue her?
Like, why would you?
Exactly.
Like, really? Like,
you're not pushed
no character
to
development on her
because
part.
You care. You're pushed to do it because the game will end if you don't.
That's it. That's
exactly.
It. That's it.
Exactly.
I think that's where the design philosophy.
I will give
fall
you.
The,
I
themselves.
Will give you that wholeheartedly because I agree. Because even on my replayabilities, it's like, God, you stupid idiot! What the fuck?
Yeah.
I gotta
it just
rescue
makes you
your
resent
ass again.
Her. And then like,
yeah, you do. You resent her.
The dumb. And I'll just go ahead and say it too. Like, I don't agree with the design aspect of like hiding her language until a second playthrough. Because then there's literally nothing to draw you to her except she's a woman, I have to save her. Ha ha, because that's like the white knight thing. Like, there's literally no fucking character this game.
Here's the beautiful thing. Yorta doesn't really want to be saved. She doesn't care. She's completely indifferent.
How do you know that?
Because of her actions. Because
her actions are just getting dragged around by the man.
By the man.
That's
what
it is.
By the man.
By the man. Because he is a man.
But it's either she's getting dragged around by Ico or by the Shadow Beasts. There's no... And she doesn't care either way. She doesn't resist the Shadow Beast. She screams out.
She screams out. Yeah, she cries as she's going down. Like the thing she cries.
But again, I think that's more to just inspire you to get to her.
Yeah.
It's because it zooms in and shows her. But as we've been over, when you are Ico and you yell out to her to come to you, she doesn't put any fucking pep in her step. She casually strolls over. She doesn't care.
Well,
she's indifferent.
It's so realistic. Just like when you get knocked down and it takes 15 seconds to stand up.
I didn't say
it's so real.
Why are you mocking the voice as if I said that in a defending way? I didn't do that. I agree. Get the fuck up, Ico.
I'm saying
use those goddamn
people
horns.
Argue this shit.
Stab
like,
those motherfuckers.
This is not coming from you. This is just people on the internet like cumming their pants over how artsy this game is and how
it
artsy
is very artsy,
Shadow
but
the Colossus
it is flawed artsy.
Like, all right, stop sipping your goddamn wine. It's not like highbrow shit. It's a fucking video game.
Yeah.
There are issues and all.
I got a lot of problems with fucking anybody who's like, oh, video games need to be art. No, fuck you. It's
no, they
entertainment.
They
fuck
can,
you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the artsy games like Journey and like that.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, like I can also play Lollipop Chainsaw or something fucking dumb.
But
that's
I can do that
fun.
Same thing with movies. Here's my big difference. I mean, Ico aside, it's a lot harder for me to replay an artsy game than it is for me to rewatch an artsy movie. I will watch an artsy movie.
I agree with that.
Before I replay Journey, because
I think I could replay Journey. Over
I could
and over
too,
again.
And I
same
have,
with Portal. I think those are kind of games as art. Almost.
I wouldn't say Portal. Is really so artsy. Portal is just smart and good. There's art.
I say art kind of in a sense like you would bring it to people who are like, oh, video games are for fucking kids. And you're like, no, you see art, like these can do more than that. And I think Portal is one of those. It's like,
and I use Shadow of the Colossus of that, but I wouldn't make people play it. I would make them watch me play it and be like,
new series. Sound engineer Andy plays games as art. And we just have him play these art games and see what he says. Like, That Dragon Cancer, like something like that. Gone Home. Make Andrew play Gone Home.
Why are you going to make him play
to
all
the
these
moon.
Walking simulators?
What's the Papers, Please? Story.
Papers, Please
we make him
great.
Play all these shits.
Have you played Gone Home?
I have not. I know the twist and it
have
ruined it for
that
me.
Have you played That Dragon Cancer?
I will never play That Dragon
Cancer. Have you
played
Cancer. Firewatch?
I don't want to play a game that is about emotional cathartic about a couple whose kid died of cancer. Like, I'm sorry. I sympathize. That's horrible. I don't want to live that in a video game. That is not fun.
Have you played To the Moon?
No, I paid $2 for it. I don't care.
Have you played Firewatch?
I have.
Have you beaten it?
No.
I don't. Dude, all right, so you want Ico to be more like Gone Home and Firewatch, and I disagree. And
well, all right, I know. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I see your leading questions.
Not,
I see them.
It's not leading, but like...
But if you make it like Journey, I played Journey through.
Yeah.
I loved it, and I played it through
I thought
again.
Journey was fucking great. And Journey you is another game. It's short but sweet. The game is like maybe 3 hours.
Yeah, I think that could be Ico, and I think that would be perfect. I think it would be perfect.
I think where Eco shines, where Journey doesn't, Eco is much more understanding of what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Journey, you kind of flail around and it's like, I guess I'm going the right way. Is this what I maybe I'm? So.
There were times not in Eco with that.
I like Journey a lot. And I bought it on PS3 as soon as it came out, and I got it for PS4 because I had it on PS3. Mm-hmm. I think it looks better. It's fun, but again, it's like a one or two playthrough thing where and it's always personal choice, but I've played Eco way more times.
I'll also say another inflammatory thing real quick too.
Go ahead, let's flame it up.
So we're talking about Journey. We like Journey. There are people on the internet who say they fucking cry at the end of Journey.
Man, that's
you're
really
fucking
retarded.
Stupid.
Yeah, you're
like
pathetic.
If you cried during Journey because it's so beautiful,
check it out.
You're fucking dumb.
I'm gonna tie this in. You ready? If you've cried during Journey, go ahead and fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck
I mean, we
off.
Haven't told people to fuck off yet. I think we did. Whatever. The double fuck the French, and then people who cried during Journey. You
I've
can
cried
fuck
during
off
like
too.
Two like, movies. I've cried during no video games.
Oh, I can't say anything. I've cried during video games and movies both.
What video game?
I cried during Final Fantasy VII. I had tears, and then Lost Odyssey. There were some of the readings that were just like heartbreaking and
I'm surprised you haven't made me yet, but I'm sure you will make me.
I don't
Lost
want
Odyssey.
To do that to you because I don't know if it'll hold up from when I played it. Like it was one of the first RPGs of that generation.
Yeah, I so, tried. Like, to, I have tried to. Play it a couple times.
Big thing at the time, but
but here's the thing: I'm going to make you when we get into December. I'm going to make you replay one of my favorite RPGs ever,
Chrono Trigger.
No, that's SNES. I'm talking Dreamcast.
That might have been. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Wait, hold on. Skies of Arcadia.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you ever played it?
I've not played any of the Skies of or Tales of games.
Oh, man. Skies is so much fun. Mm-hmm. So if you play Skies,
I skipped out on the entire Dreamcast
I'll play
generation.
Lost Odyssey.
I didn't get to play any
it.
Of them
because I don't know if I gave it a fair shake, honestly.
And I'll tell you, this Eco episode, it's so funny. We have talked about Eco
30%
of the time.
Worst Eco episode ever. Who cares? Fuck it.
We just want to talk.
I've gotten a lot of reports, a lot of requests, like things are like, you know, I like it when you guys go off on tangents. I hate that you try to force it back on top and just let it go. So,
all right, we're going to let it go.
We're going to let it go.
We're going to let it go. Lost Odyssey is really, really fantastic. It does not start that way. It starts with like a really cool battle scene, and then it drags for 3 to 4 hours. And then like there are characters that start getting introduced, and like, I fucking hate this guy. Jansen's obnoxious. I don't like him. I don't like this person. But by the end of the game,
I was
so fucking attached.
Okay.
And Jansen specifically, like I hated him.
Yeah. I know that feeling. I feel the same way right now because I never got it. I never got far enough.
Oh, then you just got to push through. And I don't know what forced me to go through. Maybe it's all the stuff I was hearing online at the time. But yeah, by the end of it, like I loved those characters.
I'm really, really excited that I've tasted a minute part of Lost Odyssey, and you have tasted no part of Skies of Arcadia.
I've tasted none of it
because I played a fuck ton of Skies of Arcadia when it came out. But again, this was also a time
Dreamcast. If I had a Dreamcast, I would have
Dreamcast. And I'm sure you grew up like me. Like when you're a kid, man, you get like maybe 2 games a year, and by God, you fucking laser focus on those games.
And you're a dumb kid, and you usually pick shit. Like I don't know if like I'm the kid who had an NES and went to the store, and his 2 games for the year were Treasure Master and Street Fighter 2024 or whatever.
That god awful game.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And that's what you pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I have them down my NES collection.
That's hilarious.
They're the worst. The Rocketeer is one it's just like these shit games that for some reason that's why. Like, there's these Mega Mans, there's these Marios, there's all these good games.
I'll take this garbage.
I'll take Where's Waldo. Let me buy that game. That's going to be great.
Excuse me, mister, that hot garbage you got back there? Go ahead and wrap that up. I'll take that right now.
You, well, it's on discount? No, let me pay the full price, too. Yeah,
I'll give you
$80. Yeah.
I'll give you all 80 of my dollars. No.
Mario is missing? That's what I want. Fuck you, Super Mario Brothers
my dad,
3.
My
game
dad
of all time.
Was a big fan. He gave me his copy of Top Gun.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
But he also gave me. He had the fucking joystick, man.
No.
Yeah, dog. That shit was the bomb.
That's
I love
crazy.
That. I fucking loved it. So, fuck it, man. Let's go ahead and end. Because, goddamn, we've talked about Eco.
Let's clip this episode like the clitoris in Antichrist.
God, you're giving all the Antichrist fun away, man.
Badoosh.
You're giving it all away. We're going to have an Antichrist special. It's Halloween. The two things I want to talk about on our Halloween October special are Antichrist and The Thing. What do you got?
I think The Thing's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, are we just doing it's horror, gotta be horror movies, yeah, or like games too?
We could do games too. I'd like to do Silent Hill.
Silent Hill for sure.
Original or two?
I think two is the better one. I've played some of Silent Hill 1. I've never beaten it.
Silent Hill was the one I was exposed to first.
I missed it out on a time.
Me and my good buddy, I remember very vividly, we rented it and we fell so in love. He lived in Orleans and I went to spend the summer, a week with him, and he had a scooter and he lived in Orleans, and we drove. Orleans has like one stoplight. It's a very small town. Okay. So we rode on his scooter 35 minutes to Paoli, which was the closest Walmart.
I know Paoli.
To buy a copy of Silent Hill on PS1.
Wow.
And I came home and played it and beat it, and it was cool.
Parasite Eve would be a good one.
I would love to finish it. I'm kind of into it.
That'd be a good one for October.
Okay.
Because that's more horror-based.
We'll do Parasite Eve as well.
Yeah.
And if you want to do Silent Hill 2, it is the regarded best game. I like 3 better myself.
I like both. I've never finished Silent Hill 3, but I really enjoyed what I played. It's just one where like other things came up and I never beat it.
I was a giant Silent Hill fan. I like 3 the best out of them.
Okay.
I think they really start to suffer after that. 4 is fucking awful.
I never played The Room. I played Homecoming, and I enjoyed Homecoming. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine.
Homecoming's kind of... It's okay.
And I hear Downfall is actually pretty good.
I've heard the opposite. I've never played it, and it kept me away from it, but I would play it.
I'd play it, too. I mean, I enjoy the
Silent Hill games. Let's do one we've never played. Let's both do Downfall.
Downpour. No, I think I said Downfall. That's my fault. Downpour. Okay.
Let's do Downpour. Let's cheers on it.
Cheers to
Downpour and
future
Parasite
plans.
Eve. You guys are hearing it first, man.
Fuck this camera. Goddamn. Fuck that camera.
All
right. That one's A-okay.
We're out. Man, we...
All right.
I'm sorry, Team Eco. I promise you a much better episode when you release The Last Guardian, which you won't ever do. So this will probably be the last Team Eco episode ever.
Oh, God damn it. We have done 2. Now I have to play Last Guardian.
You will have to play it.
Damn it.
I
kind of don't want to.
Here's the big thing. You're not going to have to. It's never going to come out.
That's true.
As the biggest Team Eco fanboy, I love Team Eco.
He took it all in.
I was
you did not play with the balls, though.
For you people listening at home, I was miming deep throating genitalia.
I thought I heard a little.
I learned that from sound engineer Andrew. He does a really good deep throat sound effect.
Oh my God!
We'll get it off camera because
on camera.
It's so good.
Let's just that be our opening theme. It's just like the auto tunes of the deep throat sounds that sound engineer Andy makes.
Oh my God! So for all you fans of the rambles and the off topic. This is your fucking episode, and we will tag it that way. God damn.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up. All right.
That's what I'm saying. For every fan,
you would you recommend Eco?
I always will recommend Eco. I think it's much more accessible than Shadow of the Colossus.
Which one do you pick? Eco or Shadow?
Oh, absolutely Shadow. I like Shadow better. I think Shadow is thematically, artistically, and stylistically better.
Mm-hmm.
But Eco is a good starting point.
Okay.
And it's much better and easier for people to get into. So I would absolutely recommend Team Eco, or just Eco, I'm sorry, not Team Eco. But yeah, that's
You'd also recommend Team Eco. Recommend them.
I am a giant fanboy of them. I will not hide it. I love what they do. It's purely like cult following at this point. Whatever. I embrace it. And there's a lot of people like me, so if you are, fucking A, we get each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so what about you? Do you recommend Eco?
As negative as I sound in this episode... I would.
Yeah, awesome.
I really like this game. Like I said, I had some issues, but I enjoyed my time playing it, which I cannot say about Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, I know.
And I think you said it perfectly. I think this is the more accessible game.
Yep.
And I think Shadow of the Colossus is a little bit more niche. And because of that, I really enjoyed Eco a lot more than Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay.
So I would recommend it, knowing what I've said. Like, if you... relate to me at all and like how I feel about games, or you kind of share the same sentiment, like there are some gameplay issues, there are some things that aren't quite smooth, but
for the whole, it doesn't take away too much.
It's an experience worth having that I don't think many other games besides Shadow of the Colossus really give you.
Grasp. Yeah, totally. So, I agree with that. Awesome. So yeah,
I recommend it.
Awesome. So that's 2 recommendations. If you have not played it, if you are somehow under this rock, you got 2
right
here.
Which I was.
Yeah.
It's worth coming out of that rock.
Cult following, there are a lot of people that have not played it. So.
And I would also say probably play the remaster. I would not say play the PlayStation 2
Pick up that
at
PS3
all.
Version. It's super cheap now, especially. Get it. It's like probably $15. And you get not only Eco, but you get Shadow of the Colossus.
To ignore, never play.
Holy fuck. You should play it.
Yeah,
I love it more. But anyways,
yes.
So that's where we're at.
It helped Adam Sandler get over his grief over 9/11.
And that one movie that I don't like.
Rain Over Me with Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder, I heard, watched Rain Over Me.
And ejaculated, right?
Ejaculated. It was like a Pee Wee Herman situation. They had to kick him out of the theater. They were like, excuse me, Mr. Snyder.
I heard it was more like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, where after the movie was over, he looked down and he's like, I have dry cum on my pants.
That is, I don't know if we talked about this during the Fear and Loathing episode, but that is like my favorite moment.
I love that part.
I love that they're giving the speech about the dried semen on
The marijuana addict will have dried semen on his pants from constantly jacking off, from being unable to find a rape victim.
Look down and like really.
He scratches at that dried cum. Yeah, it's great, dude.
It's a great visual gag.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things in that movie.
I love that movie. That's,
which you can also check out our previous episode on Fear and Loathing. It's
I'll
great.
Probably link it right here. Oh my god. So anyways, Ryan, please, let's shut us the fuck up. Tell these people where they can find us outside of this ridiculous dumb podcast.
You can find us at facebook.com/experiencegrind, twitter.com/expgrindpodcast.
That's me.
That is all him, and he does a great job. You can find us at www.experiencegrind.com. That's our main website. It's going to archive everything we ever do.
Also, I would just point this out. I recently updated it. It is now mobile friendly.
Hey.
This happened just yesterday. It's fucking brand new. It looks really good on the mobile now.
So all you millennials on your fucking phones, you
get
can check out our website.
Get off that goddamn iPhones, kids. Play some Eco.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just going to go ahead and say it too. Fuck you, millennials. Like, stop listening. I don't like you.
We don't understand you. And I fucking hate you.
I argue we are not millennials, but...
I don't know. I think we are classified as millennials. We're Gen Y.
I'm okay with Gen Y over millennials. Millennials are fucking rotten motherfuckers.
They're dumb.
I think like a scourge needs to happen.
We need a new plague.
I think we need a plague that specifically targets cell phones and the millennials.
When the new plague hits, we're going to be hit by the CDC. They're going to be like, oh yeah, you guys started it. It's the Experience Grand Plague. Holy shit, that's how we go viral.
Experience Grand Plague.
Oh,
that's
get it?
It?
Viral. Yeah. That works on two levels, dog. God, we need to shut up. Please give the rest of the links.
You can email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us, shut the fuck up, or, you know, whatever.
Give us
helpful advice. You can
or
give
requests.
Us
we
threats.
Are taking so many fucking requests, and we will honor
we
them.
Yes, we do.
And if we think you're cool enough, we'll guest you on the fucking show to talk about your
request. I mean, I'll go ahead and say it. I'm very excited for Tales from the Borderland, which was the request we got.
From
I'm
Paul Korn.
Excited to play this game.
I'm indifferent because of my experience with other Telltale games.
I know.
But I'm going to give it a shot. So, Paul, we're going to have you on. We've already discussed this. Paul's going to come on and talk about it. And he's got movies out there. But everybody else, give us games. Give us movies. We're going to fucking talk about them.
We have them queued. We have them ready to go.
Yeah.
When we take them seriously, please send them to us.
We're working on them.
Yeah.
So.
And then you can always search for us. I say always. You can now search for us on YouTube. We didn't used to be on YouTube. But guess what? We're now on YouTube.
If you're
That's
watching
right.
this, this is on YouTube.
Sound engineer Andy put on his video engineer Andy hat, and he made some great fucking videos for you to watch with your eye holes.
If you're looking at this ugly mug, it's because of fucking sound engineer Andy. So give
That's
him
right.
all the thanks.
Yeah.
You can also follow him on Twitter at SoundEng Andy. Is it E-N-G?
E-N-G Andy. Sound
E-N-G Andy. So follow that fucking guy.
I've not followed. I followed you. I've not checked Twitter because I don't fucking Twitter because I'm not a millennial. Fuck you.
I maybe gave him some Twitter tips today and he's going to step up that game.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, how is your Twitter game going? Is it good?
Not yet, but it will be.
Content?
It's going to grow.
Because last time I checked, you had no content.
None yet.
Okay.
But I've inspired him.
So follow the empty husk of a Twitter presence that is Sound ENG Andy. It'll make you feel really good about yourself
God
and
damn.
Your Twitter presence.
I fucking love this episode, man.
I think I do too. I don't think we did justice to Eco, but fuck it. Like Antichrist and clits and
God.
Hammers.
Quit giving away all the Antichrist goodies, man. I cannot wait to talk about it, though.
It's a shit movie from a shit director.
How many times have you seen it?
Only once, and that's enough.
Did you watch it with Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I watched it with Mandy. And like, here, let me, this is Mandy's, my impression of Mandy's reaction, I bet this is Laura's. All right, so this is Mandy sitting on the couch, and you're me. What was that? Why did we watch that?
It's pretty close, except I was also saying that, too. I was like, it was more like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I was. I was like,
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, I didn't know. Like, I heard it was maybe an okay horror.
I watched Dogville. I like that. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
God damn. You know,
I'm a Lars von Trier apologist.
It's spring break. You know what we should watch?
Spring Breakers? All right. That's crazy. Why are you giving me a thumbs up?
Because he loves Spring Breakers.
Dude, me too.
I know, me too.
I unironically love...
It's a fucking amazing movie.
When he plays Every Time on the Piano.
Yeah.
The Look at My Shit scene. The soundtrack by Skrillex. Like, I love all of it. Like, Spring Breakers is a fantastic movie. And the year it came out, it was my movie of the year. Like, I love Spring
Breakers. I love
Britney
Spears, and so does he. And we fucking connect on that level,
dog.
All
right, so that's it. Like, expect a Spring Breakers episode.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Thank you for
listening.
And
it's spring right now.
An hour and a half into our Eco episode where we don't talk about Eco.
We talk about all the other things we're going to talk
about. That's your Easter egg.
Surprise!
All these
things are coming up.
Spring Breakers coming.
Yeah, and Lost Odyssey, and Skies of Arcadia.
And Antichrist.
Oh, man.
With sound engineer Andy, specifically.
We are doing
reacting
sound engineer Antichrist.
To
Antichrist. We're
going to
watch
turbulence.
It with him, and it's going to be great, dog. It's going to be great.
Ball peen hammers.
So, all right, we're going to fucking end this now. Thank you guys, as always. We have been the Experience Grind. God damn, if you have stuck through it with this, you are amazing. We appreciate you so
much. I think
so,
it's time to throw out
so much.
A little, like, that Easter egg. Like, you know, if you stayed this long and listen.
You pick it. You pick it.
I picked the last time, which was Trump's Rumps Lump.
And nobody
Trump's
said
rump
it. Okay,
lumps.
Okay. If you have listened to this point, tell us labia scissors. Tweet it, email it, Facebook, tag it.
Hashtag labia scissors.
Labia scissors. You guys.
Also, if you don't know how to spell labia.
It's L-A-B-I-A.
There you go. I mean, it's a hard one. It might be E-A. I don't know.
It's
I-A. It might be like the L-A-E, like lay, like the Korean A. Like
dog.
A, labia.
Dog, don't.
Labia.
I don't know.
Labia. Labia.
Lady boy.
Lady boy. Lady
labia.
Boy.
No. For real, Lady I'm gonna end this. I'm gonna do you all this favor. Thank you.
I kind of don't. I want to keep.
Thank
it going.
Thank you.
Just fuck it.
Thank you for listening.
This is a long, slow death crawl.
You guys are amazing. I'm gonna say this now. I'm so sorry.
I'm not
that you got to
hashtag
this point.
Hashtag fucking man up as fuck.
You know what? I'm not sorry. Hashtag go fuck yourself. That's it. That's it. I'm back into
go
it.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Hashtag leave your scissors. We're done. Grind out.
Hashtag long, slow goodbye.